as we were singing that song, I took a picture of this one part of this verse, and it just was a good reminder, I think. A good reminder for us to just remember. Because I think far too many of us in the church, not just us here at Rosetown Community Church, but the church period in the world, they're running around in fear still. They're fearful of what's going on and fear at every corner. And this one verse just was such a great reminder. So why should my heart fear what you have defeated? I will trust you alone. Death's been defeated. Sickness has been defeated. Disease has been defeated. Poverty has been defeated. And we don't have to be fearful of those things. We can walk in victory. We can walk in wholeness. And we can share the good news that this has been defeated with others, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. Because they're dealing through the same stuff that we dealt through. And some of us continue to deal through. And there's not days where it's going to be perfect. You might remember, oh, yeah, this is going on. Oh, shoot. But then you need to refocus your mind on the fact that Jesus defeated it when, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension to the throne. It's been defeated. It's been won. We have victory. And to me, that's something so important to remember. Because we can live life much differently than walking around in fear. And we don't have to be a bunch of Eeyores walking around the earth. We can be victorious Jesus followers. And we should be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've already brought the victory, that it's already won. Father, we are thankful that we don't have to walk around and feel defeated, and we know that we have victory. And Father, thank you for opportunities to share the victory that you have given us to our friends and neighbors that don't know you yet. God, thank you for calling us to that role of being your ministers in our streets, in our communities, wherever we go, Father. Thank you that we are your ambassadors there. And God, thank you for opportunities to share your gospel, your good news. Father, thank you for putting this passion and giving this call to us, Father, to share your good news, God. Father, we thank you for ministry opportunities that we have as individuals, Father, as we are out and about in the bank and the grocery stores, God. I pray that we will share the victory that you have given us already with others and tell them about your goodness. God, thank you that we have victory because of you. We have victory because of the cross. God, we thank you and we love you. Father, I pray today that as we just move into our service, Father, that you would just give us receptive hearts and minds, Father. God, that you would break down any barriers, God, that might be going up. Father, I pray that we would have softened hearts and softened minds, Father. God, touch us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thanks to our music team. I'm not going to put that there, actually, because it might vibrate if I get a message. I'll put it down there so I don't think about it. Because if it's face up and it lights up, then I get distracted. Well, welcome to Sunday Church. We're glad to have you guys here today. We're in our series still about citizenship, and the series is called Citizenship. So the idea is, where is our citizenship held? As believers, we should be holding our citizenship as citizens of heaven, and we are just visiting here on this outpost of earth. And the first week we talked about, are we conformed or are we transformed? And I left us with the question, have we transformed our lives or are we continuing to conform to this world? And then we spoke about kingdom, and in particular the kingdom of heaven, which when we become a believer is something that is available to us today. Heaven is something that we can experience today in our everyday lives. We should be bringing heaven everywhere we go. Shouldn't we? We should be bringing heaven everywhere we go, and we can be experience everything about heaven today. We don't have to wait till we're about to go 6 feet under or however we are going to be when we die. We don't have to wait for that to experience the benefits of heaven. We can experience the benefits and the joys of heaven today. And then we talked about our BS, our belief system. And we talked about how our new covenant identity is formed and what it needs to look like. And we talked about when we accept Jesus, as we believe on Jesus, we get this new covenant identity within us. And it's this new covenant identity of being a prophet, a king, a judge, and a priest. And how we don't have to go to these people, but we have this opportunity with Holy Spirit and Jesus that we are connected to God through these four things. And then on Mother's Day, we talked about love. And we talked about how God just loves us. It's not like he loves us if we do this, 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 and this. He loves us. We don't have to. It's not like Scouts and Girl Guides and whatever else you get badges with. You don't have to learn to stitch or tie a bow knot, or I don't know if it's even a knot, but to tie some sort of knot or to fill it a fish to get a badge to say, God loves me. You don't have to do any of that because he just loves us and he just calls us and wants us to be in relationship with him. And the fact that he loves us, there is no but in there, right? Yeah, but I did this, or yeah, but this is going on in my life. He loves us. And last week, we talked about this idea of here is Jesus. And we talked about knowing Jesus and this idea of the kingdom of heaven here on earth isn't about following steps, but it's about spending time with God, spending time with Jesus, and living in the kingdom of heaven here on earth and enjoying it and partaking in it, and not the seven steps to being a better wife or the one step to being a better husband. Terry's not here, so I could say that right now. Oh, I didn't see you over there. It's worth a try to sneak it in. Sorry, Rick. I tried. But it's not about these steps, right? It's just we need to get to know God. We need to get to know Jesus and spend time with him in his word. And today we're going to talk about Holy Spirit. And there's a story I want to talk about today. And there are some principles that I want to talk about that go along with the story. So let's do a quick survey, okay? I actually want to see hands. How many here know that the Word of God is true? Excellent. We don't have to have a talk with anybody after. That's great. Otherwise, I would have still talked to you after. But as we study the Word of God, we study not just the things that Jesus said and did, but we study the things that the disciples did and taught based on the things that were taught to them by Jesus. And when we study the practice of Jesus and God and his people, what he did and how he did it, these are all important things. And the cool, amazing thing is that we know that if everything that Jesus did and said and everything that the disciples did and taught and everything, if that was all captured, boy, that would be a big book. The Bible would just be endless reading, which was cool, but it would be hard to focus. So everything in the Bible is there to teach us. And if we do some research in the Bible, don't study the internet, don't study someone else's studies, study his word, because his word is enough. And maybe we can use books to reinforce, but if it isn't in alignment, clear alignment with his word, then don't read it. His word is true. Everything else is just someone's opinion. So there's this story in Luke 1 about a priest named Zacharias. It's about a priest named Zacharias. And he is one of these priests that takes turns coming into the temple and doing the daily routines of the temple, or of the priest. And it's his turn, and he's in there, and he's doing a priest doing the temple. So while he's in there, and actually, we have the story, so I'll just read it to you rather than explain it, and then read it anyway. So there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. I told you I'm not good with names, guys. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron. I can get that one. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call him John, and he will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him and go before him in the power and spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So now I'm going to paraphrase that for you. Basically, he says, Zacharias, you're old, but don't worry, I'm still going to give you a son, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be a voice preparing the way for Jesus. That's my 30-second summary of what that whole set said. That's the backstory. So now I want to get into the root of our story. So we're going to jump to the next one. There we go. So this is Zacharias' response. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." So let me ask you this. If Gabriel the angel appears to you and tells you things that nobody else knows about you, and then you say something crazy like, "Well, how can I be sure?" Like, think about this for a second. Gabriel, the angel, but he's with God in heaven, and he comes to you, tells you things that only God would know. And your answer to him is, "Well, how do I know this is true?" See, the angel that he says to him, and the angel answered him and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Kind of like, anybody ever see, you probably have all seen Back to the Future. And Biff goes to McFly, he's like, "Hello, McFly, hello." That's what I kind of feel Gabriel saying. "Hello, Zacharias, I am in the presence of God and was sent to here to speak to you these glad tidings." See, I'm getting excited. And then he says, "But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." This is an incredible story. And it supports the principles from the Word of God that teach us that your faith has a huge amount to do with your future. Why do I say that? Why would an angel come to him and tell him this of this incredible miracle, and then when he sees that he is not going to believe him, makes him silent? See, Zacharias could not form a word. He could not speak a word after that. And because the Bible teaches us that both life and death are in the power of our tongue, right? Power of our tongue. And your future and where you go in life is not dependent on answered prayers. Do you get that? Your future and your life in your life is not dependent on answered prayers. Well, I'm still praying and I'm believing that God is going to do this and he's going to do that. And we create and develop doctrines around this idea why God answered this prayer and he didn't answer that prayer. What's going on? And we create doctrines around this and crazy doctrines. And there's people in churches and churches that have never been taught the new covenant. And they're still stuck in that old covenant of beseeching and praying and getting before God and trying to get God to move and bend his ear to heal or do this to heal, when in fact we already have the healing through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the throne. We've been given that power. We've been given that healing. Jesus didn't say, "By his stripes, some of you might be healed. By my stripes, some things might be healed." It says, "By my stripes, you were healed." Doesn't it? And we get stuck in this old covenant way of thinking. And we don't realize that that type of praying, when we move into the new covenant, is actually a form of unbelief. Why would an angel look over at Zacharias and say to him, you will not be able to speak until that boy is born? Because he was his father. And Zacharias and John were not like Jesus with an immaculate conception. Zacharias still had to put some work in, right? He still had to woo Elizabeth. You know what I'm saying? He still had to be like, hey, how you doing? He still had to do that. He still had to put the steps in. Am I clear what's going on here? I'm going to stop before I embarrass myself with my mom in the room. And when she got pregnant, Gabriel knew that was Zacharias. When she got pregnant, Gabriel knew that son would be Zacharias's. And until children reach that age of accountability, the word of the parents are very powerful over their children's lives, aren't they? And he did not want this man, Zacharias, to stop what God was trying to do. Now, I might have some of you saying, whoa, come on, Dave. Come on. Are you going to tell me that what we say can stop what God himself is wanting to do? Yes, I am. And that's very true. Our words are so important. Our words are important. What we say, what we believe, has an impact on what God can do in our lives. We're partnered with God. We've talked about this on multiple occasions. All through the Bible, we learn that life and death are in the power of our words. That your tongue is the power of a ready writer. We are writing our future. We are prophesying our life by our words. Every time our tongue speaks, it is writing beliefs, the beliefs of your heart in the real world. It is writing and sharing your belief system with others. And we need to know this. We need to understand things like the renewing of our mind, our heart beliefs. The Bible says that when we study the Word of God and we become disciplined followers and we will know the truth and the truth will set us free, that we can function and operate as children of God. If this wasn't true, that our words hold power, then why else would Gabriel come and silence Zacharias? He wasn't angry or ticked off. Gabriel didn't go to Zacharias, you're being a big jerk, Zacharias, and because you don't believe fully, I'm gonna tie your tongue, I'm gonna close your mouth for the next 9 months. No, that's not how it works. This is the reason why Zacharias can talk. He had a problem believing. And when you have a problem believing, your mouth will say things that come out of your heart, even though it is not truth according to God's word. Remember what we say with our mouth every day, our prophetic words, aren't they? Your words establish your future. You don't need a prophet to tell you your future. I'll tell you your future right now, okay? Whatever you've been saying this past week, this past yesterday, the past year, the past month, whatever it is, that's your future. Whatever you've been focusing on, that's your future. Don't get caught up in condemnation and shame. Get the tools and change your future through the Word of God. Start speaking the Word of God over your life. Start declaring the Word of God over your life, the good things that He has for you, the promise of the Word of God. Declare them. We need to learn the power of words over our life, over our bodies, over our finances, over our businesses, over our jobs, whatever it is. We need to learn and we need to understand. When Jesus comes into your life and heart, when you believe on Jesus, you have the ability to have this amazing faith. And we get this faith, as it tells us in Romans 12:3, and we can believe like Jesus. We can believe with a God kind of faith. And so here's Zacharias and Gabriel knows exactly what's going to happen if he opens his mouth and says anything negative. It can cost this incredible miracle and this preparation for Jesus through John the Baptist. That John the Baptist, as he comes on the scene and he prepares the way of the Jewish nation, of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, for Jesus, That if he doesn't do that and if he's not preparing the way, then maybe thousands or tens of thousands of people who give their lives to Jesus and believe on him might not happen. God's plan was that John the Baptist would come and breathe his precursor to Jesus, but his dad needed to shut his mouth. Gabriel knew if he talked and that the doubt and unbelief could cost this miracle. I want you to understand, according to the Bible, that the words you speak are important. Everyone here should know they should be working and developing the renewing of their mind so that it creates a new heart and a new mindset for all of us. If you give your life to Christ, you have an incredible ability to believe his word, don't you? Like when you accept Jesus, all of a sudden as you spend time in his word, you can understand it more, you can believe it more, it becomes more understandable to you. Because we have the Holy Spirit revealing stuff to us. And as we get to know and we know his word and we learn his word and the promises, the blessings of the Lord and the favor of God over our lives, things start to change. And John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they have it more abundantly. So if you think that your prosperity is tied to your career or your job or your business or your company, you have a misbelief. If you think because things are bad within your company that you cannot prosper and be blessed, you're dealing with a misbelief. We have things, we have prosperity and blessings because of Jesus. That's why we have those things. We have them because he died for us, he rose again, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. That's why we have it. Just like if you think that because the flu is running around town and you're gonna catch it just because the flu is running around. Or hey, let's go inside. Oh, COVID. Ah! Then you have some sort of misbelief. I want you to talk, let's talk about truth for a second. See, misbelief is false. It's not based on truth. But what do we know is true? The Bible says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, as I said a moment ago. And we think truth according to the five senses or the natural truth. But there is a truth according to the Word of God that is the original truth. The original truth is the way the designer made it, the way the designer created something. See, you look around at the world today and it is full of crazy truths. And I put in quotes there. You got to see my quotes. Does everybody see my quotes? Quotes. It's because the world's got this whole mixed up view right now of things like sexuality. Am I a man? Am I a woman? I'm binary. What, I don't even know, singular. I don't even know if that's a thing. But, you know, people got these, well, it's their truth. No, it isn't. That's the truth is what the designer created it for. And the problem is everyone has an opinion. It's like mouths or noses. Everybody has one. Everybody has an opinion about how God works or about God and about this and about that. And we study and search, but we need to spend time with Father and Holy Spirit and read the Word. I don't care what you think. Heck, I don't care what I think. What we need to learn to respect is what God's Word says. That's what matters. That's really what matters. And the Bible talks about truth in Ephesians 6:10. It talks about where it talks about the armor of God. And what holds all the armor, the Roman soldier's armor on, is this belt of truth. Not truth as to how you see it or I see it, but what was the original norm is what it means. That belt of truth holds everything together. I don't know why I do this when I talk about belt. It's not a seatbelt. The truth is, the original norm, the original truth of how we were created is this. As children of God, as believers, as those who believe on God, the truth is what? Is that you are an overcomer born of God. That's the truth. The truth is that you're a king's kid. That's the truth. That you are the head and not the tail. That's the truth. The presence of God goes before you and behind you as you rear guard. That's the truth, right? Everything that you put your hand to is blessed. That's the truth. No one will stand before you all the days of your life, and that he was with Moses and Joshua, he will be with you. As he was with Jesus, so he is with you. We could go on all morning quoting verse after verse after verse, but that's who you are. That is the truth, not what your five senses tell you. Not that I have fantastic hair. Not that I'm extremely funny or charming or handsome. It's what Stacy tells me all the time, so I'm just reminding everyone. The truth is what God says is true about me. The truth is that original norm, the original truth, that is the truth. And now the fact that you don't walk in it, the fact that you don't believe on it, the fact that you don't want to take steps to walk through it and with it, that you don't make it happen, that you don't use it, that you don't study, that you don't maintain it, that your life is such a mess. That's a problem. When you say things like, I don't believe it. This is me. Get used to it. You know, I got my flaws, I'm a mess, and this and that. No, what does the truth say in the Word? That's the truth. Not this is you. That is the you that refuses to meditate and spend time and believe the Word of God. But Dave, that's the truth. I'm a mess. I'm this, I'm that. I'm whatever. Whatever you say that is counter to what God's Word says about you. Sure, that's the truth according to your five senses, but that is not the original norm. That is not the truth that God has created you for. So because of that, he had to shut Zacharias' mouth. And even in the Old Testament, when the Israelites had to walk around the town of Jericho, does everybody remember this story about walking around the town of Jericho? I think there was a song maybe when I was a kid. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe it just made a song up in my head. But when the Israelites had to walk around Jericho, and when you study history of the Bible, and when you study the Bible, you will see what an amazing place this Jericho was. Like this wall of Jericho. Think about this for a second, okay? They would race chariots around the walls of Jericho, right? That wall's got to be almost as wide as that street is. And they're walking around this. Imagine a city with a defense as thick as our streets. Wide enough to race chariots on it. And when God told them to take Jericho, they were like, how? Look at that wall. It's thick. They're racing around there. They got the Jericho 500 going on right now. And God told them, walk around it for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. And I'm sure they thought, you have got to be kidding us. Another harebrained God idea. Oh, and by the way, Israel, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. Because I'm sure if they'd have kept on that train of thought of and speaking while they were doing it, man, can you believe the stupid ideas? Like, come on, walk around this wall. We're walking around a racetrack. Oh, it's taking forever. This is a big, big city. And then while they're doing that, this city is inhabited by giants. It has a giant wall and has giant men living in there, the Nephilim, who are 11 feet tall. And they're probably on the wall laughing. Nice day for a stroll, ladies. They're talking to the guys. They're being derogative, just in case. I don't think they got ladies and guys. Nice day for a stroll, ladies. Keep walking and probably calling them out. But because Joshua was told, no talking, do not utter a word, they kept their mouth shut. The Nephilim are laughing at them. Come on, you morons, another walk? What is this, day six? Day seven, Stupid. Probably what the Nephilim are saying. The guards watching around the perimeter. What would they have said if they could speak? God didn't want them to speak. God told them, be silent. The words that we speak are so powerful for our destiny and our future. So finally, here's what happens. Finally, on the seventh day, on the seventh time around the city of that day, what were they to do? They were to shout and glorify God and thank Him for the victory, is what they were to do. And what happens when they went around in 7 days, they obediently walked, and then on that seventh day, after that seventh time, and they shouted for victory and cheered and clapped and thanked God and glorified God, what happened? The walls came down. Incredible. I love that story. It's an amazing story. And it reminds me just of, once again, glorifying God has power in our words. Speaking negatively could have stopped it. I remember as a kid, I used to wish an angel would appear to me and give me a specific word. And I began to realize that as I grew older, not when I was 12, but as I grew older, I began to realize that that really is Holy Spirit's role for our lives. And I've heard people say this today that, you know, well, I had a vision or I had a dream and this angel told me this, and angels visit me every day, all the time. And yes, God can still speak to us with angels, but according to Romans 8, God speaks to us by using His Holy Spirit so that we have to be in tune with God. And just like the words that Abraham had said or had heard, you're going to have a son. Like the words that Zacharias had, you're going to have a son. Like the words the Israelites got, walk around the city and take them out. Those promises from God that He spoke to them through an angel, through a dream, it is exactly how the Holy Spirit's job is to speak to us today. Holy Spirit speaks to us and shows us things to come. And in John 16, 13 and 15, it says this. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is it up there? Okay, let's pause there. So some people in some churches think that they're the truth cops when they hear that. That guy's got a problem. That guy has some issues. I know, I can just sense it. That guy's got some problems to deal with. You can't lie to me. I know this, blah, 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 blah. Or I want you to know the truth. You can't handle the truth. Stop. It's just talking about the truth. The original norm. God's original design. The truth. The original truth. And when you begin to understand the truth about the Old Testament and why it is the way that it is and why the cross is the way that it is and why Jesus died, you begin to understand the truth and the original norm, and it says it here. So when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, the whole truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak and He will tell you. He will announce and declare things to come. So why is it so clear that the Holy Spirit will only speak what Father God has told Him to? See, some people come up and say, well, Holy Spirit told me this about you, and whoa, 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 stop. No, He did not tell you that. See, you can't know that. Don't tell me what the Holy Spirit told you. He did not say that because that does not align with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit only tells you what the Word of God, or what God says, and what God tells you is truth, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so His Word must be the truth in our lives. So, do you follow me there? Or did I just talk in a big circle? I might have just talked in a big circle. But the fact is, Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something contrary to the Word of God. Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something contrary to God. Because He is God. He is God three in one. Don't tell me Holy Spirit told you to prepare me for some harm. Don't tell me that I need to watch out for, you know, some harm. Holy Spirit will speak to me if I need to know that. But Holy Spirit's only going to typically speak to me from the Word of God and speak to me truth, original truth. We have a Father, we have a Son, we have a Holy Spirit, and they are the three persons in one, and they're not going to speak different than each other. Just like I've had people say to me, I see angels every day. Angels come to me every day. And you have to tell them to stop. That's not an angel from God. The Bible does not say that he leads his people with angels. Has anybody ever read that? He doesn't lead his people with angels. Even Jesus didn't see angels every day. He had to go and he had to commune with God. Didn't he? So why would we believe that we're led by angels? We know that Satan can come as an angel of light, and he can say positive things to make it feel good and lead you away and astray from what the Word of God is telling us. We need to be established. It's crucial that we see the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit only speaks truth by things that are already established by Father God in His Word. When Jesus died on the cross, Holy Spirit will bring you these truths. Just like Zacharias heard from Gabriel, like Moses was spoken to from the burning bush, like an angel who appeared in the Old Testament to men and women and gave them their instructions, guiding them to what to do with their lives. Don't be asking God for dreams and visions, because the enemy can give you dreams and visions, because he can put things in your mind and put things in your thought process, and then your brain just runs crazy with it. Instead, recognize that the Holy Spirit is within you. And as you meditate on the Word of God, He will declare this Word to you. He will take His Word and show you things to come. He will speak to you and show you the truth through His Word. Not through Google. What is this? That's not His Word. But I got this really great, His Word. It's not about that author. It's not about Google. It's not about His Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through His Word. So John 16, 13 to 15 says, He will glorify me, for He will take of what it is mine. Sorry, I got to reread that. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. The way to get God's Word from your head to your heart is through confession and meditation. And when I go into the Word of God for something and someone else is waiting on an angel, I just trust that Jesus has established on the cross, the foundation of my faith, from the death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and I believe in that. I don't need to wait on an angel to show up. I don't need to wait on some remnant to get left in my vicinity by an angel or by God. I have His Word, and I can believe in that, because that is true. Because of what I am asking God for, something that He has already given to me through Jesus. Just like that song line I read earlier. We've already got it. There are other things we can ask Him about, yes, but things like healing, we've already got it. Things like blessings, we already got it. Things like prosperity, we got it. Things like success in our business, we got it. Things like good relationships with our family, we got it. It's up to us to choose to walk in it. If we don't choose to walk in it, how the heck can we get it? Because it's already ours. So it's up to us. Up to us to choose to make the decision to start walking in what has been given to us. Like I said, there's things we can ask. I can't find a verse in the Bible to say, should I go camping at Danielson Park or Saskatchewan Landing or Pike Lake? It's not in the Word. So I study and I ask Him for that. Things like that. Or should I leave this great job that God has given me for this other great job that God has given me? Maybe spend time in the Word or with Him, ask Him about that. Maybe spend some time in the Word, because it's not clearly in the Word. Dave, you shall not work at Synovus anymore, but you're going to work also at Saskatoon and Apex Automation. That's not clearly in the Word, but God, through spending time with Him in the Word, through relationship with Him, through prayer, Holy Spirit will reveal things to us, right? Those are the types of things that we can spend time for. But we need to go back to His Word. Don't we? I want to read that verse one more time because I think it's pretty important. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. Let's put your name there. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide Dave. You can put your name there. Don't say Dave, okay? He will guide Dave into all truth. The truth of who I am, the truth of who of what God's Word says about me, the truth of who God is, the truth of who the devil is, the original truth of, according to God, of how He made me, how He's blessed me, how He's leading me, how He's given me promises, all those truths. And Holy Spirit is going to teach that to me. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you, Dave. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare to you, Dave. It's specifically for us. And unless you meditate on the Word of God, unless you spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will have a hard time to teach you. When you get into the Word, when you focus on the Word, when you meditate on the Word, you speak the Word of God using your mouth, through your declarations, through your prayers, then and only then will Holy Spirit begin to work with this journey of truth with you. And then the truth gets written in your heart. It doesn't matter what your friends or family says. What matters is what the original truth was that God had for you. And as the Holy Spirit speaks that to you and reaffirms that to you as we spend time in His Word, as we begin to walk and realize that we are children of God, and what is true about us is true what God says is true about us. Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and reveal to us something that the world cannot touch. And God begins to rise up inside of you. You know, you think about things like healing. How easy is it to experience healing and to walk in healing, to walk in blessings, to walk in prosperity when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you? When you actually step into that, how much easier is it? Oh, I don't know about that. Like, I got to pray about that. I got to see how. But walk in His blessings for you. That's what we need to do. Because we don't live according to the kingdom of darkness, do we? Sorry, Mary, I should have invited you up. I forgot. We don't live according to the kingdom of darkness with the enemy Satan as your boss. We live in the kingdom of light. We hold our citizenship in heaven, right? Satan's not our boss. Satan has no authority over us. Satan is defeated. We walk in victory. We walk as citizens of heaven, and that governs our world and our future, not anything to do with the devil. He's got no power. He's got no rights over you unless you give it to Him. Unless you're not walking with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, and you start listening to that little voice over here, and you start listening to that junk, and you say, oh, well, maybe I'm just meant to be sick. He's under your foot. We got a microphone these stage. Those are good stomps. He's under our foot. He's defeated. Satan has been defeated, and we have victory, and we can walk with the Holy Spirit living in us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, showing us truth from His Word. But we need to step there. We need to walk there. We need to go there. We need to live in the kingdom of light. We need to live in this kingdom that is given to us already. We need to experience the benefits of heaven as citizens today. We need to allow the things of the Word to govern our world today. We need to allow the things of Jesus to lead us and guide us today. But none of that happens unless we choose to believe and walk in it. None of that happens unless we make a decision to shift our focus and shift our mindset. None of that happens unless we change, unless our minds change, unless we renew our minds and allow our spirits to be renewed and we change our autopilot to one of that right path of walking with Holy Spirit into the goodness of God. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to battle, aren't we? If you're holding back and you're trying to do things on your own and run your own show, it's going to be a battle. Because you're not allowing God to lead you. You're not walking in the benefits of that relationship with Him. But it's your choice. I can sit here and tell you every Sunday of the things that you're missing out on and the things that are given to us already through the Bible, through His Word, about walking with the Holy Spirit and experiencing and knowing what His Word says is true about us. But the choice is yours in the end. You can make that choice, and it's not high five talk. It's not, you know, hope talk. This is from the Word of God. The benefits that are ours. And I encourage you to spend time in His Word, asking the Holy Spirit to stir your heart, stir your spirit, and show you what He has for you. Show you, reveal to you the benefits of Him. Because as you start listening and judging to the world, what's going around you, you start missing things that the Holy Spirit has for you. And I don't want that for you guys. I could sit here all day and talk and spout off verses, and we can spout off things all day, and we can discuss and argue and disagree or whatever, or agree and get a big high five. But really, spend time in His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the benefits to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you to walk in those benefits, to tame your tongue, to tame your minds, to tame what you're doing and focus on Him. We're going to close off in prayer here in a second, but I want to give an opportunity to anybody watching online or anybody here watching that doesn't know Jesus or wants to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that wants to cross the line from knowing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, to actually knowing Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer, and it's just a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody here that even knows Jesus just to repeat after me. So if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just repeat this prayer after me, and everybody that knows Jesus is going to repeat with us just so you feel comfortable, okay? So just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place and take every punishment and curse. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. And Jesus, from today on, I'm following you. Holy Spirit, lead me into the goodness of you and all the good things that God has for me, according to His Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for the blessings that are outlaid in your Word for us. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that leads us, that guides us. God, I thank you that during our days today and tonight and tomorrow as we move on, that we can spend time in your Word and we can come to a realization of what the Holy Spirit wants to lead us through, as He speaks what you have already spoken to Him. God, I pray that as we press in, as we step into your goodness, God, that we would just know truth. That we would know truth. God, that we wouldn't be searching out for our own truth or our own ammunition, God, but we would seek just truth. Because that's all that matters is truth, and we know that, God, and I thank you for your truth that is there. God, I thank you for your life. I thank you that you love us, that you lead us, and that you guide us, God. God, I pray right now for our neighbors, God. I pray that you would give us opportunities, and that, Father, that we would step out in the boldness that you've already given us and minister to our neighbors about you and your goodness. God, I pray that as we walk out life, that we would step into the bold and be bold about you to everyone we come in contact with, that we would share your gospel and share your life and share the goodness and the blessings that you've done for us. So God, this week, I pray that we would just take those opportunities. Father, I pray that you would just allow us time to focus on you this week and allow us a heart that is ready to learn from you and your Holy Spirit. God, we love you. God, we honor you. Thank you, God, for the blessings you've poured out us. Thank you for the blessings of finances. Thank you for the blessings of abundance. Thank you for the blessings of health, God. And God, I pray that we walk in those blessings that you've already given us, that we would make that choice to step out and step into what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week. Thanks for watching.